No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome, everyone. Everyone. All of you. To Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the 10th day of... It's coming. September. I mean, I have to. It doesn't get better than Earth, Wind, and Fire, does it? Welcome, everyone. It's a joy to be here. It's fun to be here. It's an honor to be here reading the Word of God to each and every one of you in this beautiful global campfire community. Let's talk about that live, shall we? That was such a good time. So fun. Thank you all that joined in, and I wish that we could see faces, but your names, I know your names, I know your voices, I know you, I know your struggles, I know your pain, I know your victories, and what an honor that is to be in this safe space together and to know one another and still choose one another. And choose to love one another. That, it's so simple. It's so simple, it's hard. That's what it's all about. We are here to know God through His Word, and we do that by knowing His Word. So let's read the Word of God together, shall we? Today we read Ezekiel chapters 42 and 43. This week we are reading the New Living Translation, Ezekiel chapter 42. Then the man led me out of the temple courtyard by way of the north gateway. We entered the outer courtyard and came to a group of rooms against the north wall of the inner courtyard. This structure, whose entrance opened toward the north, was 175 feet long and 87 and a half feet wide. One block of rooms overlooked the 35-foot width of the inner courtyard. Another block of rooms looked out onto the pavement of the outer courtyard. The two blocks were built three levels high and stood across from each other. Between the two blocks of rooms ran a walkway 17 and a half feet wide. It extended the entire 175 feet of the complex, and all the doors faced north. Each of the two upper levels of rooms was narrower than the one beneath it because the upper levels had to allow space for walkways in front of them. Since there were three levels and they did not have supporting columns as in the courtyards, each of the upper levels was set back from the level beneath it. There was an outer wall that separated the rooms from the outer courtyard. It was 87 and a half feet long. This wall added length to the outer block of rooms, which extended for only 87 and a half feet, while the inner block, the rooms toward the temple, extended for 175 feet. There was an eastern entrance from the outer courtyard to these rooms. On the south side of the temple, there were two blocks of rooms just south of the inner courtyard between the temple and the outer courtyard. These rooms were arranged just like the rooms on the north. There was a walkway between the two blocks of rooms just like the complex on the north side of the temple. This complex of rooms was the same length and width as the other one, and it had the same entrances and doors. The dimensions of each were identical. So there was an entrance in the wall facing the doors of the inner block of rooms, and another on the east at the end of the interior walkway. Then the man told me, "These rooms that overlook the temple from the north and south are holy. Here the priests who offer sacrifices to the Lord will eat the most holy offerings, and because these rooms are holy, they will be used to store the sacred offerings, the grain offerings, sin offerings, and guilt offerings. When the priests leave the sanctuary, they must not go directly to the outer courtyard. They must first take off the clothes they wore while ministering because these clothes are holy. They must put on other clothes before entering the parts of the building complex open to the public. When the man had finished measuring the inside of the temple area, he led me out through the east gateway to measure the entire perimeter. He measured the east side with his measuring rod, and it was 875 feet long. Then he measured the north side, and it was also 875 feet. The south side was also 875 feet, and the west side was also 875 feet. So the area was 875 feet on each side with a wall all around it to separate what was holy from what was common. After this, the man brought me back around to the east gateway. Suddenly, the glory of the God of Israel appeared from the east. The sound of his coming was like the roar of rushing waters, and the whole landscape shone with his glory. This vision was just like the others I had seen first by the Kabar River, and then when he came to destroy Jerusalem. I fell face down on the ground, and the glory of the Lord came into the temple through the east gateway. Then the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner courtyard, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And I heard someone speaking to me from within the temple while the man who had been measuring stood beside me. The Lord said to me, "Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place where I will rest my feet. I will live here forever among the people of Israel. They and their kings will not defile my holy name any longer by their adulterous worship of other gods or by honoring the relics of their kings who have died. They put their idol altars right next to mine with only a wall between them and me. They defiled my holy name by such detestable sin, so I consumed them in my anger. Now let them stop worshiping other gods and honoring the relics of their kings, and I will live among them forever. Son of man, describe to the people of Israel the temple I have shown you, so they will be ashamed of all their sins. Let them study its plan, and they will be ashamed of what they have done. Describe to them all the specifications of the temple, including its entrances and exits, and everything else about it. Tell them about its decrees and laws. Write down all these specifications and decrees as they watch, so they will be sure to remember and follow them. And this is the basic law of the temple: absolute holiness. The entire top of the mountain where the temple is built is holy. Yes, this is the basic law of the temple. These are the measurements of the altar. There is a gutter all around the altar, 21 inches deep and 21 inches wide, with a curb 9 inches wide around its edge. And this is the height of the altar. From the gutter, the altar rises 3.5 feet to a lower ledge that surrounds the altar and is 21 inches wide. From the lower ledge, the altar rises 7 feet to the upper ledge that is also 21 inches wide. The top of the altar, the hearth, rises another 7 feet higher, with a horn rising up from each of the four corners. The top of the altar is square, measuring 21 feet by 21 feet. The upper ledge also forms a square, measuring 24.5 feet by 24.5 feet, with a 21-inch gutter and a 10.5-inch curb all around the edge. There are steps going up the east side of the altar. Then he said to me, "Son of man, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. These will be the regulations for the burning of offerings and the sprinkling of blood when the altar is built. At that time, the Levitical priests of the family of Zadok, who minister before me, are to be given a young bull for a sin offering, says the Sovereign Lord. You will take some of its blood and smear it on the four horns of the altar, the four corners of the upper ledge, and the curb that runs around that ledge. This will cleanse and make atonement for the altar. Then take the young bull for the sin offering and burn it at the appointed place outside the temple area. On the second day, sacrifice as a sin offering a young male goat that has no physical defects. Then cleanse and make atonement for the altar again just as you did with the young bull. When you have finished the cleansing ceremony, offer another young bull that has no defects and a perfect ram from the flock. You are to present them to the Lord, and the priests are to sprinkle salt on them and to offer them as a burnt offering to the Lord. Every day for 7 days, a male goat, a young bull, and a ram from the flock will be sacrificed as a sin offering. None of these animals may have physical defects of any kind. Do this each day for 7 days to cleanse and make atonement for the altar, thus setting it apart for holy use. On the eighth day, and on each day afterward, the priests will sacrifice on the altar the burnt offerings and peace offerings of the people. Then I will accept you. I, the Sovereign Lord, have spoken. Okay, we are nearing the end of the book of Ezekiel. We've been in it for a minute. We heard the judgment, the wrath of God at the beginning, the tearing down, the ripping of God from his people because of their rebellion to the covenant in which they made to him. And there's this language of a remnant being ripped and torn. There's this language of a woman, an adulterous woman, and it's very sharp, pointed, blatant language. Needless to say, God has very strong feelings about the covenant that the Israelites broke. Their part of the relationship that they did not keep, that they vowed to keep. And so as we segue through the prophets, as we segue through the book of Ezekiel, hit the different sections with the different themes throughout the book, we are nearing the end of the book of Ezekiel, and we are hearing and reading the rebuilding of the temple. Now, just a couple things to mention that are, I think, are worthy mentions. The temple is not something that God asked or demanded to be built. God was meeting in the tent of meeting with the priests all the way from the very beginning of the instruction. Once the children of Israel left Egypt, entered the desert, there was a portable tent of meeting, and they were to follow his lead, a cloud by day, a fire by night. King David came along. King David was the one who wanted to give God a place that he felt was worthy, as he's living in this beautiful wooded home, and the Ark of the Covenant, the tent of meeting, is still a cloth and poles. But we remember that God said David would not be the man to build the temple because David was a man of war. His son Solomon was a man of peace. So Solomon built the first temple. Again, the temple that God did not ask for, but he did permit being built. This was not instruction from God. This was a request granted. And so as we hear these words today of a new temple, we have to know that there are theological debates all across the board. Is this a literal temple to come? Is this a symbolic temple? Why the measurements? Why the specifications if it's symbolic? Why specific measurements if it hasn't been built yet? And a third, I'm sure there's far more than just three, but a third theological narrative of, is this prophetic? Is this still yet to come? And I don't know the answer. I have my own personal beliefs, and they can stay my own personal beliefs, because as soon as you put them into a category, is, you know, it's when the shaming starts, it's when the condemnation starts, it's when the name calling of heretic and false prophet, because there's a difference of opinions. I don't know who knows other than God. What I do know is that as we read this, the symbolism of Ezekiel having a vision of where God's glory will come and dwell is what we hear when we read this today. The glory of God, the glory of God that Moses witnessed, the glory of God. How do you describe the glory of God? Don't know that either. But my guess is it's that peace. It has to be likened to that peace that even though your life is in turmoil or the situation is dire, but there is a peace that passes all understanding, that prevents you from panicking, that prevents you from falling apart. It's the awe and the wonder of standing at the ocean, the edge of the ocean, and feeling the waves and the ripple of the waves breaking and crashing at your feet, and seeing out across the horizon as far as you can visibly see before the curvature of the planet, and know that the grains of sand and the drops of water are there, and your being, your self, is there because the creator of the universe called you by name into existence. It is knowing your insignificance in that moment and letting every worry, every fear, any urge to diminish or compare yourself to any other person is released to stand in the presence of Almighty God. Let's not confine the glory and the presence of God to a building, to an hour-long service on a Sunday morning. Let's stand in awe and wonder of the creator of ourselves as we think about every moment of the day, possibly as an act of worship. How can I offer my worship back to God, knowing that the glory of his presence surrounds us? Jesus, we do thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence, God. You're unmatched, unmerited, merciful presence. I don't know how to adequately define your glory, God, but may we be aware of the glory that is you and only you. May we choose your presence, God, and may we choose not to leave your presence. We choose with every thought and with every word and every choice. I pray, God, that we would make each one of those matter for you. I pray this all in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are celebrating 20 years of Daily Audio Bible. Thank you so much for your support, for just being here, just showing up, just being you. There's no one in the world quite like you. Some of you are like, thank God. was our son Maxwell's birthday a couple of days ago. I failed to mention happy birthday to him. Happy belated, son. But every time in his card, Brian and I both write, just what a unique individual he is. I don't know anyone else in the world like my son Max. He has introduced me to a world I would never have taken notice of through his eyes. I absolutely love it. And while I know God broke the mold with him, I can't help but to get an offspring from him one day that just that reminds me of him exactly, just the beauty of his being. So happy belated to my anomaly. In celebration of these 20 years of Daily Audio Bible, we are giving back in several different ways. Our latest creation given to you that you can purchase is the Breathing Prayer. And as we mentioned last night, the live, so great to be with all of you and to see your names associated with the voices and some of your faces we know. And that was just such a heartwarming, life-giving for us. So thank you all for showing up. And we thank you all for your partnership. And speaking of partnership, if you would like to partner with us, thank you so much. Could not do this without you. For giving by mail, DAB, P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. Or you can give by utilizing your mobile device. Hit the give icon up at the top right-hand corner. And lastly, look for the give icon on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called in, there are several different ways for you to do so. 800-583-2164. Or again, utilizing that app, hit the red circle button up at the top midsection. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line. When you are finished, hit submit. Turn that wheel over to chronological and it will get to the right place. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. I love you all. Until tomorrow, love one another.
This is Jess from Ohio. I'm calling in for prayers for my niece, Kayla. I called in a few weeks ago talking about her kidney stones. Next week, she has another surgery to remove the other kidney stone and the stent. I'm asking for prayers for it all to go well and for her to have a speedy recovery from the surgery. Thank you all for praying. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Good morning, Dobsey family. This is the burning bush that will not be devoured for the glory of our God and King. I'm calling with a little praise report. Yesterday, I called with a prayer request for little Jordan, who was in the hospital, admitted. She just couldn't breathe. She has asthma, an asthma attack, and I believe she ended up with COVID, and so she's on oxygen. Talked to her mom last night, and her mom says she's starting to respond to the care that's being given, and so she's starting to breathe a little bit. She says the oxygen is flowing a little bit better than it was earlier. So keep praying, but thank you. Praise report that God is actually doing something. Please also pray for her mom. She's definitely overwhelmed, and her mom is also sick now with COVID. So pray for healing, and just thank you for your prayers. All right. Love you guys. Bye.
Jill, this is your brother in Baltimore. Jill. Every time that you have said, introduced September with that Earth, Wind, and Fire vibe, September, it just makes me smile, and it just does my heart good. And I just want to say thank you for that. And to you, your husband, to your family, happy 20th anniversary on the DAB. Thank you, and God bless y'all so much. Hey, love y'all. Bye.